Guys need their happiness. All right, let's start learning a little bit. So we were doing yesterday, we're finishing off this part of the sugya. Next week, Sunday, we'll start the next part of the sugya about the Hidur Mitzvah, Ezra's Hashem, which is a whole different part. And we want to see that Teres Chaim that says something like Sandy, and the Rashi, Tysus, and the Teres Chaim, and there's other people too. But that's for Sunday. I forget to mention. But today, we were working yesterday on the following Kasha. And I see that there is this Sefer that was written many years ago that also addresses the Kasha. And he has a completely different answer. So I just want to go over what we said yesterday and what the Sefer says, and you people can pick which one you like better. You can try and understand both of them. The question was, the Taisus learns from our Gemara that you don't do even a third for a mitzvah, spend a third for your mitzvah. He brings a raya from the Gemara in Usha that you don't bend even a fifth. He brings a raya from Rabbi Gamliel that you don't spend some X amount. Not clear how much the amount is by Rabbi Gamliel. But L'chaira, you have to say that by Rabbi Gamliel was not over in Takanas Usha. So in order to explain that Rabbi Gamliel was not over in Takanas Usha, you have to say that the Shash of Takanas Usha did not apply to Rabbi Gamliel. We thought yesterday the answer is because Rabbi Gamliel was spending less than a fifth. That was the most simplistic answer. We don't know how Rabbi Gamliel was very wealthy. So 1,000 zuz did not even equal a fifth of his money. In that Sefer Birim Yom quotes the Bach that says that even though it was more than a fifth, but Takanas Usha did not apply to Rabbi Gamliel because he had a steady income, meaning he had a income from Klal Yisrael. He was a Nasi. So it wasn't as likely that he's going to become Ya'ani Bistarach Lebrius. If a person gives away a lot of money, but he has money coming in, so it's different than if you're just living off your savings, so to speak. You have a steady income, so you give the money today, you'll get more in tomorrow. So another way,
Did the Be'er Halacha say something like that?
Could be, yes. I don't recall. I tell you, I don't recall. My. So either way, what comes out that Takanas Usha does not apply by Rabbi Gamliel, which means a shash of that Yostarich Lebrius apparently doesn't apply. So the question is, and this is how Shamir quoted it over from Rabbi Isha, if the shash of Yostarich Lebrius doesn't apply, so then the Ravid also doesn't apply. The Ravid said, the Rashba quoted the Asikasha, why don't you do a mitzvah? Mitzvah varies, mitzvah is priceless. How can you not do a mitzvah because of money? Doesn't sound right. Because of money, you don't do a mitzvah because you don't want to lose money. Where's your commitment to Torah? Okay, so it's a little difficult. So you're giving up a little money, big deal. So he brings the Ravid that because Shema Ya'ani, Ba'ani Chashiv Gemes. So it's obvious that by Usha, you don't have the problem of Shema Ya'ani, because you don't have the problem of Yistarach Lebrius by Rabbi Gamliel. Otherwise, Rabbi Gamliel would not have been allowed to do it. So obviously, the problem does not apply to Rabbi Gamliel. So why is Rabbi Gamliel putter from the mitzvah? Now, there's a diak that Taisus has from the Gemara, is that me'ikvah then Rabbi Gamliel was putter. He just was machmer. So the kasha is, if obviously Takanas Usha doesn't apply, we have two possible reasons, but either way, either because it was less than a fifth, or because he has a steady income coming in. So if that Kanas Usha doesn't apply, so Shema Ya'aniv Yistarech Lebrius, that means doesn't apply. So if it doesn't apply, so then the Raiva doesn't apply. So why is he Pater Min HaMitzvah? Right? That was the question that we were addressing. I hope that question is clear. I know any comment? Okay. So yesterday we gave an answer that we said, we said that to say that there's a line that the problem of Shema Ya'ani stops existing is very strange. There's no magical line that it goes from 100 to zero. It's like with the COVID, you said there's a line that it goes from being perfect when it's dangerous to not dangerous. It means at a certain point, the danger gets a little bit less and a little bit less. You don't have to worry. Not that there's no danger. It goes from real total danger to zero danger. That's not the way it works in life. What happens is it goes from a big danger, which you're very nervous about, to a smaller danger, which you're not so nervous about. So when you spend a fifth of your money, it's a big danger that we're worried about. When you spend a sixth of your money, it's a smaller danger and we're not as worried. But there's a danger by a sixth, just like there's a danger by a fifth. It's just a smaller danger. The danger, if there's a danger of Shema Ya'ani being Starach Labrius by a fifth, so there's a danger, a smaller danger, Shema Ya'ani being Starach Labrius by a sixth. Even when you have people supporting you, there's a smaller danger. The danger doesn't disappear, it just becomes smaller. Since it becomes smaller, and we explained the reason why there's a danger, because once you get into a habit, you might do it again. Five times, there's maybe more of a chance you do it again. Six times, it's less likely you do it again. But that just means that the danger went down a little bit in probability. It's enough of a probability that you do it five times in a row. It's unlikely, it's a little bit less probable you do it six times in a row. So therefore the danger is, the danger becomes a little less. The danger becomes a little less. So Usha was not misake. So the Takana Usha, let me try and say, I'm just trying, as long as I was able to get this far, let me finish it already. So the Takana's Usha was that when the danger is 25%, whatever, that it's gonna become Ya'ani, then you're not allowed to do it. When there's only a 24% chance that you're gonna become an Ani, you're allowed to do it. But there's still a 24% chance that you're gonna become an Ani. So the Ravid is saying that when Chazal said you're potter from a mitzvah, even a 24% chance is enough to make you potter from a mitzvah. The sheer of danger to make you potter for a mitzvah does not necessarily the same share of danger that Chazal made Takanas Usha. Now there could be Takanas Usha, Chazal only asserted. It's like there's a difference. You want to take a gamble. Chazal's like, you're not allowed to take a gamble. It's doing too reckless. So for that, you need a higher percent. But to say that you're not obligated to take a gamble, you need a lower percent. So therefore, there is a certain amount of shash that Ya'ani Yisrach Labrius by Rabbi Gamliel. He's allowed to take that danger because since it's a certain amount of percent, you're allowed to take it, but you're not obligated to take it, right? There are different shiurim. There's a certain amount, there's a share of danger that's usher to take. There's a certain danger that you're allowed to take, but you're not obligated to take. But that's what we basically said. And that would answer what Shamir quoted from Ramesh, even though I don't know, right? But that's what we wanted to say. Okay.
So I was just saying that if it's really true that he would be usher for him to do it, except he's the nasim, he's getting a steady income, and now because of that it's not usher, so that shows his godless gufa, that in a case really it'd be usher, but because he's technically an usher, he says I'm going to do the mitzvah anyway, so that shows his godless, it's gevaldik, it shows.
Okay, very good. In other words, he was potter.
He's potter, but he did it anyway.
It wasn't usher.
Shows
right.
His godless.
Right. Yeah, you have, you know, I don't know if you know that there's this famous Nadav Yehuda about doing sakana. So he writes that there are different shiurim. There's a certain shiur that you're usher to put yourself in sakana no matter what, even if you have to do it for parnasa, you're not allowed. There's a certain shiur that you're allowed to do for the tzara parnasa, but you're not allowed to do the tzarek recreation. That's what he basically says. And then there's a certain share that you're allowed to do even a tzarek recreation. In other words, he makes that there are different shiurim of danger. The certain share of danger that no matter what, you're not allowed to do. Certain share is that I have to be a traveling salesman. I have to be, that's my job. I'm a builder and I climb up on roofs and I hang from a little teeny string. That's my parnasa. So then I'm mutter. I want to do it for fun, right? He came out there that hunting is usher because it's too much danger if you're doing it for fun. If you're doing it for parnasa, it's mutter. So there is such a concept that there could be levels in danger. So that's what we're saying here too. There's by spending a sixth, an eighth, or whatever the share of your money, it doesn't mean there's no danger. It's a small danger. So that small danger is not enough to aser takanas usha, but it is enough to fit into the raibid's gather that the Torah patted you. How did Chazal know that you're patted for this amount? Chazal were smart, they knew. Okay, right, that's what we wanted to say yesterday. Okay, yes, Samir, you look like you're about to scream at me.
Okay, I'm a little unclear. Rabbi kind of is saying as if the act in of itself is dangerous.
The result is that it's doing an action that brings about a dangerous result.
It's not even the act itself directly doing that. It's a certain the act is a hanhaga, which that continuation of that hanhaga would.
You don't have to necessarily commit what the danger is. It's easier to explain the danger is because you might get into a habit, but.
If you're not saying it's the habit, so I'm just going to get clear. If you're not saying it's the habit, then you're saying that this amount of money puts you into a danger of being.
It makes you put you a certain danger. We don't know what's going to be. It's more misdirected habit because why should it depend on the percentage of your money? It should depend on how much money you have. In other words, if a guy has $10,000, a fifth is $2,000, but there could be another guy that only has $1,000. So I assume it's a sort of habit makes much more sense. It's not really relevant. The point is, in order to explain, we have to say it's in some reason there is a certain amount of danger, but it's not such a big danger to fit into Usha. Okay, that's what we said. The Sefer that they was sent, you know, that was the old Be'er of the Yudin. So he says a whole different Svara. There's a question on the Gemara, which is really the crux of the somebody. Okay. The Gemara quoted had a Havamina that Rav Huna and Rav Zeira were talking about that the share for one mitzvah is a shlitz. So the Gemara says that can't be because then if you have three mitzvahs, you pay all your money. So the problem is like who's talking about three mitzvahs? We were only talking about one mitzvah. We only said the share of a mitzvah, it's about one mitzvah, the share of one mitzvah is a shlitz. It's like staka. Once you pass a tenth, you don't go back beyond the tenth. You don't do it 10 times. You know, once you hit a tenth, you're potter. So once you hit a third, you're potter. So what's the Gemara saying? Oh, if that's the case, you have three mitzvahs. Maybe once you get to a third, you stop. your chiyuv is to go to a third. If I stalk, your chiyuv is to go to a tenth. Even if one ani knocks on your door and you need to give him a tenth, you have to give him a tenth. After that, you're potter. So the same thing can be true by start by other mitzvahs. So what's a Gemara's kasha if you have three mitzvahs? Who's talking about three mitzvahs? So
is it mistaber to say that you can mitzvah?
I can't hear
you're
you.
Only allowed to spend a third. Is it mistaber to spend it all for one mitzvah?
Yes, because you said I was the first one that came to you. Obviously, you don't. You the first one that comes, and then you have a pure oinus. That makes sense. For right now, you're not an oinus. You know, there's after a third, you're like a pure oinus. Whatever you get a pure. So till you have the pure, it's a mitzvah chiyuv. You got to do it.
But that's not good budgeting. It's not good budgeting because you're going to be able to do one mitzvah and that's
okay. But later on, you have a pure oinus. You get a pure oinus. Now you don't have a pure oinus.
I can do a thousand of them.
We don't know necessarily how the mitzvah is going to cost you. Okay, anyway, but that's how we were asked that question. So the Biurvia wants to answer that they're not learning that when we're the Havamina, that Rav Zera or Rav Huda were saying a third, it's not because, like we read the Ravid, is because a third is a danger and you're going to lose it. There's a danger zone. Losing your money is not a pikuach nefesh to pater you from mitzvahs. There's no clown in the Torah. In order to be pater from a mitzvah, you need a Torah mechanism. There's no mechanism in the Torah that says losing your money is a basis to pater you from a mitzvah. There's no such thing. The only reason why you could be potter when the Gemara had a Havamina that you're a potter in Rav Huna and Rav Zera and a third, it's not because it's a tour. It's terrible. Some of it's terrible. You need a pasuk. You need a pasuk to say that you're a potter. By Misa, there's a pasuk bechayvehem. Or there's a svara because you're other, but by tsar there's no pasuk, there's no svara. You can't pater you. The reason why you're pater is only reason why you're pater is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a shear. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a shear, you're pater because you don't have to do more than the shear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you. That's a svara. Hashem gives you a shear, you don't have to do more than the shear. If Hashem says Meiser is a tenth and Truma is a fifth, so you don't have to give more than a fifth. Hashem says Peya, I don't know how much Peya is. So Eidet Boran Sheshem Shir. So there's no Boran, no Indian to do more than the Shir. That's the Shir. That's the mitzvah. If Hashem said Hashem said to fast one day on Yom Kippur. You want to fast 2 days. You're a Shaita. There's no Indian. The Torah gave a Shir. You don't have to go beyond the Shir. Maybe there's a hither to go beyond the share sometimes, but there's no chiyuv. So when the Gemara understood the Havamina, this is a very radical, very different than what we've been saying. We've learned the Rashba and the Ravid that the Havamina was that the third is a ptur because you have like a ptur aines, because it's a terrible tragedy of Mitzayer, and Mitzayer is some tragedy that we can't reach the Rebbe Mitzayer, and that passes you, just like Misa passes you. So he's in the Biurvia was saying, no, there's no pasuk for Tsar. There's no Mikor anywhere in the Torah that Tsar passes you. So you can't say that you're potter because of Tsar. So the only way you can be potter is because there's a shear. Torah gave a shear, and okay, you're potter because Hashem didn't ask for more. You don't have to do more than Hashem asks you to do. Not, you want to do it, you can do more, but you're not obligated to do more than you're asked. Right? If the boss asks you to work till nine, so from 9 to 5, so at 5 o'clock you're allowed to go home. It's not because it's so much hard to stay from 5 to 5:30. You can do it, but you're not obligated because you're only contractually hired till 5, right? That's what he wants to say. So therefore, the Gemara had a good question. If the reason for a third is a shear, so then it doesn't only apply to one mitzvah, it applies to three mitzvahs. So if the shear is a third, then for three mitzvahs, you'd have to spend all your money. So maybe you do have to spend all your money. So that the Gemara is saying, that would be a chisarin and drachecha darkei naya. The Torah wouldn't have made up a shear that's going to cause a lack of drachecha darkei naya. So it's like a simen. It's like Rav Elchanan says, I'll remember Yavamis. And that pays, I'm in Aleph in Yavamis. The sugya drachecha darkei naya by Eishas Hach Shalaya Ba'olamo. Rav Elchanan brings the Gemara in Sukkah. That the Gemara has that maybe an esrog is a sabra plant or something like that. And the Gemara says it can't be because then you get thorns in your hands. And it's a chisar and a drachecha darkei naya. So Rav Elchanan says that's not really the reason. That's a simen. Snapshot is that if I want to be meiser nefesh and okay, I'm ready to get thorns in my hands, it's okay. It's not an esrog. It's a simen that's not the esrog that Hashem meant. So the reason why your potter is to use a sabra because it's not an esrog, not because of the thorns.
But a losa say you have to.
What?
For a losa say you would have to.
Losa say it's not a, there is no simen drachecha darkei naya.
Why not?
But there's a yashris that an essay Hashem never. It's a simen. Hashem for the sake of essays. Did not make a system that's going to cause tsar to people. So you're not potter because of the tsar, but the tsar is a simen that Hashem didn't mean that. That's what Rav Elchanan says, I think by in the Kovei Tzaharis. I haven't seen the piece for many years. We're not learning Yavamis for another 2 years, so at least 5 years. But I'm pretty sure that's what he said. He said, in other words, what if a guy doesn't have an esrog? So he says, okay, listen, I'll tell you what, you know what I'll do? I'll be meiser nefesh and I'll shake with a sabra plant. You can't do that. There's no point. Because it's not that a sabra plant is not good because of thorns and you're going to hurt yourself. A sabra plant is not an esrog. It's not the mitzvah. It just, how do we know it's not the mitzvah? Because Hashem would have never made the mitzvah on something that's going to hurt you. But that's not the tour. That's only a simen. So what the Be'er Lirim wants to learn Pshat in this Gemara, when the Gemara says that if it's Ramile Tlasa Mitzvah, you'll spend all your money, is that's not the reason why you're potter. That's only a simen. It's a simen that the shear of the Torah was not a third, because if the shear would have been a third, you would end up losing all your money and Hashem wouldn't have done such a thing. And that's what the Raivin means too. The Raivin is just saying, where did the Chazal get that you're potter? Because Chazal knew that Hashem doesn't do such a thing. Hashem doesn't make you mitzayer because it's a terrible tsar to lose all your money. But not that's the reason why you're potter. That's why only the simen why this is the shear.
I guess in that approach, I don't understand, because then why don't we just say the shear is that you're chayav in a mitzvah, if al kol panim, it's not going to make you put you into a position of yitzarach lebrias. Like why?
Because because Hashem made a shear for all mitzvahs. There has to be, there's a shear for all mitzvahs essay. One shear for all mitzvahs essays. When are you chayav in mitzvahs essay? So if the share of a third, then it applies to first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth. Then every mitzvah has a share of a third.
Again, before this far of Ani Kameis, Pashup Shad is Hashem says, do this. How am I going to do it? I don't have an esrog. Go figure it out. Hashem commanded you.
We're saying that the Gemara knows that there's like a self-understood, it's like an understood pasuk in the Torah somewhere, that Hashem said, that even when anytime I tell you something, there's a shear. There's a shear. And I'm only, it's like there was a pre-clause in every contract, and it should be understood, this understanding in every contract. So it's an understood, there's like an understanding before every mitzvah that even though I'm telling you to do this, but I only mean up to a third. I tell you to do this, it's understood up to a third. I tell you to do this, it's understood up to a third. That's how the Gemara is understanding Rav Huna and Rav Zeira, that they're telling us that there's some understood precondition in the Torah that every single mitzvah's essay is contingent on only up to a third. So then, if there's such a precondition, so then it would come out that if you have three mitzvahs, you have to spend all your money. And that can't be. The Torah wouldn't have done that, because then the Torah is causing you to lose all your money. So it must be that the precondition is more than a third. The precondition is a fifth. The precondition is a seventh and a tenth.
The cost of the mitzvah is not a share in the mitzvah. It's a hech. It's a hechi timsa to the mitzvah.
Okay, but it's a share once the Torah amis. That's like by going to a minyan. You're not mechuyev to walk so far for a minyan. So the Torah said you're not mechuyev to spend this much for a mitzvah. I'm only obligating you to do the mitzvah when it's not going to cost you more than this much amount of money. The Torah has a shear. There's a shear in the mitzvah. So then if you don't, if that's the situation, you don't, the point is, it's not like it's a ptur aynes. You see, the way we learned the writhing, it's like a ptur aynes. Pikuach nefesh is a ptur aynes. I couldn't do it because I would have gotten killed. I'm an aynes. Aynes rachmana patre. So the Ravid is the simple reading, and the Ravid is he's saying that even the Tsar is like an Ines. No, it's not an Ines. It's Hashem when he wrote the Torah, he wrote, I am not asking, I'm asking you to do mitzvahs. I'm only asking you to do mitzvahs in this situation. It's like your parents, your father loves you. Your father says, do me a favor and go to the store and buy me a bottle of milk. But I don't want you to go if it's raining, or I'm not obligating you to go if it's raining. I don't want you to go. I don't want you to get sick. So there's a shear in the mitzvah. Maybe I don't, it's either I don't want you, or at least I'm surely not insisting on you go. If you want to go, you can go. But I don't, you know, there's a shear. Hashem went ahead and asked us to do him, so to speak. It's not a favorite to Hashem, it's a favorite to us. But Shem asked us to do certain mitzvahs, or he commanded us to do certain mitzvahs. So there's a pre-understanding in the command. This is what Rav Yehuda and Rav Zeira are saying, that there was a pre-understanding in Kol HaTorah Kula that Hashem is only commanding when it's not going to cause spending more than a third. Says the Gemara, that can't be. Because if that's the pre-understanding, then in three mitzvahs, you have to spend all your money and you'll go broke. And Hashem wouldn't have done that. Hashem wouldn't make a command that it's a lack of drachecha darkei nayan. So therefore the command must be a different share. Spend the sixth of your money.
But theoretically, there's no, theoretically, through the Maskana of the Gemara, there's no shear.
We say not like you. There is a shear.
You have no source from the Gemara. There's no source.
Tysus is bringing us sources. Tysus brings that they might be a fifth.
He brings our Gemara as a source. He brings our Gemara as a source.
Says that it could be a tenth.
Our Gemara as a source. Our Gemara is not a source. Our Gemara had a minor that said shlish. The Gemara rejects shlish because, that wouldn't be derech darchei noam. So the
fact must be
no shear.
And the same object that it could be a shlish. Obviously, it can't be more than a shlish. So it must be that there is a shear, except that it's less than a shlish.
Don't put yourself into a position. You're going to become an ani.
I'm sorry, you can't go ahead on your own and potter yourself. If there's no, according to the Biyurim Yunim, if you can't paskin on yourself to potter yourself, you need a mekar in the Torah to potter you. You can't say, I'm going to become an ani. I'm sorry. The only way you can become potter is if Hashem gave a shear. So there, and since the Gemara holds in Svara that Hashem doesn't want you to become an ani, therefore, it's muchloch that Hashem gave a shear. So in the maskana of the Gemara, and that's what Tavis is proving from our Gemara, there must be a shear. The shear, how much is a shear? If Tavis proved from our Gemara, the shear is less than a third. Then he proved from the Gemara of Usha that the shear is a fifth or less. Then he proves from Megamliel, maybe the shear is even less than that. We don't know exactly what he's proving from Megamliel. But the reason why you're potter, this is the answer to answer the question, why it jives with Rabbi Gamliel. It jives with Rabbi Gamliel because it jives with the Ravid. The Ravid, when the Ravid said that it's potter because of its sire, Choshev Gemes, that wasn't the reason why you're potter, because there's no pasuk in the Torah that says your Mitzayer Choshev Gemes can potter you. It's just a yashrit, it's a simen. It's a drachev, a darke nayan simen, that the Torah had a shear. But the purpose of the shear was also not because of maybe the Ravid's far. Just like the reason why Hashem didn't make a Sabra an Esrig is maybe it's for a different reason. I don't know. He didn't make it because it's not an Esrig. So I don't know why Hashem didn't make it.
Yes or no? Is that a humanly discernible shear? Is there a way we can figure out what that shear is? Or do we need a halakha?
So either we figure it out from Usha, because Chazal are smart, just because we're not smart. Chazal figured it out. So either the shear is a fifth. If you read Pashas Artisis, the shear comes out a fifth from Usha. That seems to be the mashmos of Artisis and the rush. And the Rabbeinu Yerucham says the shear is a tenth. Fakir, the Rabbeinu Yerucham is very much mashma on this way.
I think this way makes a lot more sense for Yerucham.
Staka, it's a shear, right? And so he's saying it's the same thing. So it's a shear. Yeah, I'm sorry. What?
How do we understand?
I was just going to say that it sounds like Rabbi Rucha makes a lot more sense in this pshat than the other pshatim, because it's the only basis of a minimum of any mitzvah. And granted, that's...
Yeah, Meiser. The reason why Meiser, the din Meiser Ksofim is a tenth, but it stands from Meiser Afield to a Levi. The Meiser Afield to a Levi has nothing to do with Shema Yoni. The reason why Hashem said you give Meiser a tenth is because a tenth is a nice number. I don't know. Why does Hashem say 50th is for Truma? It's not because Shema Yohani if you give more than a 50th, because that's the share. The share of Truma is a 50th, and the share of Meiser is a tenth. And therefore, and according to Rabbeinu Yerucham, the share of every mitzvah is a tenth. They're the share.
According to this, what does the Rashba mean when the Rashba says that it doesn't mean mamish because it doesn't pater losa say also? The Rashba said that. That sounds like a reality, not just
Nisa. Then it wouldn't be a din and a share. That's good, but what he's saying. Don't.
I mean, that's what the Rashba saying. That's the Chiddush of the Rashba to say this point.
I don't know. He's saying if it would be Misa Mamish and it would apply to a Losa, say, and it would be besides it, maybe a share too, but it would be besides the share. It would be a function. That would be a din and misa.
So he's saying it's not that, rather, but it seems to be skipping a step then, no?
So it's, yeah, so good. First of all, you're allowed to skip a step. So it's not that, but it's just that it's a bad thing. And it's a bad thing. There's a svara that Hashem doesn't want a bad thing, and therefore it must be.
That's two steps.
Okay, that the Rashba is a Rishon. You can't ask such a kasha. The Rishayim are allowed to skip a step.
Just to clarify, the Rashba asked from the Tlus too. I mean, according to this, the Tlus has nothing to do with the Ani. The Tlus is the Shir Deraisa.
Right.
So then that's not a Tosa. So Rashba says, how could it be that you're only high of a third? Right. I mean, if it's a Hilchasa that you're only high of a third, then you're only high of a third.
Because the Gemara, the Gemara shlugs it up because the Rashba is down, the Gemara is upshot. The Gemara says that can't be the right shear because if you have three mitzvahs, you're going to go broke. So this is the way the Gemara is saying he's smart.
He asked from the Gemara's Havamina too, I believe.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't have the safer here. I don't have my Raj on me. So that's the best excuse. So the Gemara says that you go broke. and therefore Misvara, the Gemara is saying it can't be. So the Rashba is asking, why Misvara can't be? So he said, because it's since going broke is such a terrible thing. So Drachecha Darkei Nayam. And obviously Hashem didn't make that shear. But at the end of the day, for example, that we said the Nafkamina, we said, I mean, it says it in the Be'er V'yudim. It says it's Nafkamina, it's not my Naf, you know. Is that Avnei Nezer, right? The Avnei Nezer brings this example of a person who doesn't have a child for 10 years. So there's a Mishnah, which we have to be very careful when we say it, because Halacha L'maisa, we don't follow that Mishnah for whatever reason, whatever the reason is, we don't. But the Mishnah says that you're supposed to divorce your wife after 10 years. Minhag Ha'olam, which is not just a minhag, it's based on good reasons, we don't do that. But in whatever, there are obviously some cases in Eretz Yisrael 5,000 years ago, whatever, that was Halacha. So the Avnei Nezer asked the Kasha, if our Gemara comes out, you don't have to lose even a third of your money and even a fifth of your money. And the Rabbeinu Yerucham says a tenth of your money. So why can't the person say that to me, being married is equal to a tenth of my money? I would sooner give up a tenth of my money than divorce my wife. You could hear somebody saying that. It's not crazy. You know, I have a shalom bias. My wife is we have a wonderful relationship, and it's worth it. The happiness that I get from having my wife is equal to a tenth of my money. So why are you obligated to divorce your wife? So I don't know, maybe he says because Peruvu is a special mitzvah, it's a more chomer dika mitzvah. I don't remember what he answered. I think that's what he answered, but I don't remember. Because Peruvu is like you're building the whole world. It's a special mitzvah. But the way that Be'er V'yudim is saying it, there's no problem. According to Be'er V'yudim, let me see, would that be a problem?
It'd be more of a problem because no. The tsar should be the same tsar.
No, because according to Be'er V'yudim, the Torah never created a p'tur because of tsar. There's no such p'tur in the Torah. No,
but the tsar should dictate you don't have to do it then. Same thing.
The Torah never made it. This is an abnormal situation. The Torah did not make a p'tur. Let's say the only way I can get an esrog is by walking through a field of thorns. Right? So the Torah did not make a p'tur of tsar. Even though the Gemara knows, Rachecha Darkei Nayam, Hashem never meant that you should take a sabra plant. But if the only way you can get an esrog is going through thorns, of course you have to go through thorns because there's no p'tur. There's no such story in the Torah. You have to follow the rules of the Torah. The Torah has rules. The rules of the Torah are you're obligated to do a mitzvah unless there's an oines, and oines means pikuach nefesh, period. That's the rule. Except that there's gedarim to when the mitzvah is. The mitzvah is a third of your money. The gather is on a is based on money. That's the gather. The gather has nothing to do with tsar. The gather is a gather of money. So the Torah, now you have a situation where there's a lot of tsar. It doesn't fit into any of the rules. So you have to do it because.
But I thought the whole getter is based on the fact of Zerucha Darkei Noam. That's how we know it's getter.
Okay, but that doesn't mean Zerucha Darkei Noam does not mean that if some strange situation happens, that you're parted from the mitzvah because of Zerucha Darkei Noam. We would never say that. That I'm saying, the Gemara. I'm bringing you this proof. The Gemara says that an esrog is not a sabra plant because of Zerucha Darkei Noam. But what if you're in a concentration camp or whatever, and there's no esrogim, and then you find out that there's an esrog, the German threw the esrog into the bushes with all the thorns. So you would be mechuyev to go into the thorns and get out the esrog, because there's no such psur in the Torah that you're parted from an esrog because of drachech adargei naya pates you from the mitzvah's esrog. There's no such thing.
It could be like tkiyah shofar lachar. If it's tkiyah shofar, so we say that really on Shabbos we don't blow shofar because of the reason can it come to carry whatever, etc. but it comes out of Shiloh there. It says in the Gemara, it says maybe you should never blow shofar because of the fact that it's doing an instrument on Yom Tov. It says it can't be that Torah would have a situation where you'd never be able to do the mitzvah. But to sometimes not be able to do the mitzvah because, let's say, for example, it's not on Shabbos, so that they would have a situation like that that would be.
Okay, I'm not, you have too much bikinis for me. I don't know, but if you're bringing a raya to me, I'll take the raya. I'm happy to take the raya, but I'm not familiar with the Gemara. I'm sorry. I have to admit. I don't know I should admit. You know, I saw the Dark Game Musser brings a maisa, and someone came into Branovich, and he was looking around, and the Mashgiach went over to him and says, can I help you? Do you need a Gemara? And the guy says, no, I don't need a Gemara. I'm an Abba Haaretz. I don't know how to learn. So the Mashgiach said, a whole schmooze, says he didn't have to tell me that he's an Abba Haaretz. Apparently, he wasn't embarrassed. You know, he could have just said, I don't know. I'm not looking for a Gemara right now. He thought there's nothing embarrassing. A person should be embarrassed to tell me he's an Abba Haaretz. So how could he just, on his own, volunteer that he's not an Amor? So I should be embarrassed to volunteer that I don't know that Gemara. So that it's a big gam in my, because I learned in Chavetz Chaim Yeshiva that we're not embarrassed to admit that we don't have bikiyas. It is a chisarin. I should be embarrassed, yes. You're right. Okay. I have to do true. All right. But the
Biur V'Yunim, he's quoting the Avnei Nezer differently, that there is no mitzvah to divorce your wife.
But that's because he's saying, because maybe he didn't, maybe he didn't, maybe I forget. He's saying because it's more than a tenth. Because he's learning, I think, I got to get the safer, because he's learning not like that the tenth is not a shear, the tenth is a svara. Torah prompted you from the mitzvah when you're losing the tzara, when you're suffering a tenth. So who would then, anything that's an equivalency? Right? In other words, if you learn the simple pshat in our Gemara, then the Avnei Nezer would be right. The Avnei Nezer asked a question, I don't think the Avnei Nezer, but I'm not sure, the Avnei Nezer asked a question. The Avnei Nezer can't give me, because it's against, the Gemara says you're not mechuyev to divorce your wife. That you are mechuyev. I don't think. I'm going to look inside. Maybe it's misquoted. How's that for a good answer? What page is this? Kuf.
Lamed.
Does Rebbe argue with the Biur V'Yunim very often?
All the time. Okay, imagine me doing something that because of the guy that can't give me the merit of the show. Shall be on my own rod. You're right. In other words, his answer is that only for pruvu. That's what he asked the kasha. How come you're mechuyev to divorce your wife or divorce your wife? His answer was that because pruvu is a special mitzvah, because the whole world is kayim on pruvu. Mashma from the Avnei Nezer, that if not for the fact that pruvu is a special mitzvah, then you wouldn't have to divorce your wife for a mitzvah overis, right? That's saying not for pruvu. Because if you had a different mitzvah overis, not pruvu, because you know, that was his whole kasha. He asked the kasha on the Mishnah, why do you divorce your wife for pruvu? Granted, pruvu is a mitzvah overis. If you won't divorce your wife, you won't have any kids. But you're not mechuyev to spend more than a tenth for a mitzvah overis. His answer is because pruvu is a special mitzvah. So then the kasha is, then, but the diak is, that means that for a different mitzvah overis, you don't have to divorce your wife. If I want to go to Eretz Yisrael or whatever, and my wife won't let me, so I don't have to divorce my wife and to move to Eretz Yisrael, right? That's obviously true, but anyway, even without the Avnei Nezer. But the Maisa, but because that's a different, Eretz Yisrael is a different type of a mitzvah. But if there have a different mitzvah overis, and the only way to get it is, and my wife won't let me do the mitzvah overis, and the only way I can get to do the mitzvah is by divorcing my wife, so you don't have to. So he's saying that, the last paragraph. The meaning of the object of Shaim Hon Rab, get a kind of mitzvah, very machine that changed out since been by Shaim Hon Rab. Oh, I'm sorry. Question, I think I got it backwards. She said, well, why aren't you kind of divorce this show? The lacquer's basis, I'm sorry, get a kind of mitzvah, I got no question of your base. That doesn't sound right. I don't know. Hello, Korko. Okay, here's a different question. I missed the question. You know, the Be'er of Yom has a different question. He's saying it different. Okay, I take it back. I take it back. In other words, he has a problem Manashak with the Avnei Nezer. He says, if you say that because of Ani Choshev Kemeis, you're not Choshev Kemeis on the first tense, you're only Choshev Kemeis, where we learned the Gemara, you're only Choshev Kemeis because you might do it 10 times. Right? That's how we learned the Gemara. It's not the first third that makes you Choshev Kemeis. You know, so the first third does not make you into an Ani. It's only because if you do one third,
Titus learned that Mashna even one third was enough, right?
And said, but we explained it. It's the way we explained it yesterday, is because when you do one third, you get into a certain habit, and we're nervous. You come to do another two, you do it twice more, and that's when you got. So you're getting close to the. You're moving close to the area of becoming an Ani Choshev Kemeis, because once you do it once, you might do it twice more, and then you'll be an Ani Choshev Kemeis. So his kasha is by a wife that you can't do it three times. It's not shayach. You can only, you just because you divorced your wife once, you're not, there's not a nervousness, you're gonna divorce her again. You know, like, so there's no, you know, that's his kasha. Okay, that's a, I don't know if that's a mukhra kasha, but that's his question. That's not a bad question, but it's a different question. In other words, if you learn the simple pshat of the in the Raivin, that the problem is because you're going to become an Ani, and an Ani is a Ptur Aines, you might become an Oni by divorcing your wife. There's no possibility of becoming an Oni, because you only become an Ani if you do it more than once. You become an Ani when you do it three times. That's what the Gemara says. It's Ramine Tlosa Mitzvasa. It doesn't say that one time you're an Ani. It says three times you're the Ani. So why, by your wife, what are you afraid? You're not going to divorce your wife two more times. So there's no danger of becoming an Ani.
Rebbe, if it happens two more times, it means he's the one who can't have kids.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, right. So therefore, he wants to say, if I care, that the Avnei Nezer probably learned. It's also a shear. Okay, he's probably learned the. So the Be'er of Yudim wants to say that just the opposite that I'm saying now, that the Avnei Nezer probably learned it is a shear. Okay, I would say that he's not learning shear either, you know, because it's hard to say a shear, but maybe. Okay, I don't know. All right. I'm not clear. In other words, if there's a shear, is the shear has to be in dowers, or the shear could be in anything? So, the Be'er of Yudim wants to say that the Avnei Nezer, when Hashem gave a shear of a tenth, the shear was not just in dower bills. The shear was in anything which is equivalent to a tenth of your money.
I guess like a mechanism motivation.
Okay. All right. Anyway, so we have as follows. I think that's good. So we have, it comes out, is we have two different answers to the question, right? In other words, just to repeat over, and then I'm going to finish for the sugya. I think that the question on the floor was, in Rabbi Gamliel, Mimonashach, if there was a problem of Ya'ani Mistarach Lebriyas, then you shouldn't have been allowed to do it, because of Usha Hitzkinu. And there's no problem, and there's two choices why there's no problem. Either because he had so much money, this was peanuts for him, or because he has a steady income from Klal Yisrael. So then why is he potter? The Ravid Svara doesn't apply. So we have two answers. Either, even though there's different levels of pass of danger, so it's not, there was a certain amount of danger, Rabbi Gamliel, just not on the level of the danger of for Usha. Usha only with Misakin and Israel when it's a high level of danger. Rabbi Gamliel was a low level of danger. But even the low level of danger gets the tour of the Raivin. That was what we were saying. And the Be'er Yudim says that at the end of the day, you're not putter really for the danger. you're part there because there's a shear. And once there's a shear, so the shear is a pure no matter whether, even if there is no danger. The fact that by most people there's a danger by a fifth is a simon that that's a shear. But now that that's a shear even for Rabbi Gamliel, who it's not a danger, and I forgot to speak that out, but that right, that's how he's answering the question, that the it's only a simon, not a siva. So there's a shear in the mitzvah. The fact that for most people a fifth is a danger is a simon that Hashem made the shear, at least by a fifth. But once Hashem made that shear, the shear is a shear, even if there's not the danger, because that's not the, it's just like by Esrig. Even if you add a sabra fruit that doesn't have thorns, you go to Publix and they're selling sabras and they took out the thorns. You can't use it for Esrig because that was only a simen. That's not the mitzvah, but now it's not the mitzvah. So the fact that they're tsar and you're gonna lose your money, that's only a simon that's not the definition. That's not the share of the mitzvah. But as far as practically speaking, there's a share of the mitzvah. Once there's a share of the mitzvah, you're potter. Okay.
So does that mean that Rav Gamliel has to be less? You'll start with Gamliel getting a steady income doesn't apply then?
What?
Did that mean we can't apply as far as he has steady income because it's too bad?
As far as why Takanas Usha doesn't apply, we have two different reasons, whichever one you want to use.
But if it's a set amount, then it doesn't make a difference. It should still apply.
What?
If it's a set amount, if a fifth is a set amount, and just because he happens to
we're talking about a set amount as far as the Ptur Mitzvah, not as far as Takanas Usha. You can't mix again. There's two different topics. Takanas Usha was not a fifth with a set amount. Takanas Usha was Rabbana made a Takana because of a reason. The reason doesn't apply. They didn't make the Takana. But the when we say there's a shear, that's a Din D'Oraisa. There's a din d'oraisa that Hashem made a shear. It's not a takana susha. Hashem made a shear for the mitzvah. And the sakana is a simon to what the shear of the mitzvah is.
You know, and if that's true, then what's Tysus bringing in takana susha as a raya to a fifth? Because maybe midoraisa it's a third, and only midorabanan it's a fifth.
Because Rabbanan couldn't make a tour if you're a mechuyev in the mitzvah. So if the Rabbanan say you don't do it, that means that there's a tour that you're not mechuyev to do the mitzvah. Otherwise, the Rabbanan being Iker Damin Atayra. You're Mechuyev and do the mitzvah. It's a mitzvah of Eris. And the Rabbanan are saying you don't do it.
So it's a simon l'dover. It's not the actual point?
It could be, yes.
What are we bringing Rav Gamliel for according to that?
Another simon. The fact that the Gemara says that he was Potter is a simon that you don't have a mitzvah in with all your money. Now, we don't know exactly how much money because we don't know what percentage was by Rav Gamliel, but it's a simon that there are some cases that you're potter.
So we're saying that Ram Gamliel was potter because of the shear, but he had no iser.
Right. Because Takanas Usha didn't apply to him. So the Takanas Usha is what makes the iser. The shear is just a giving up tour. There are two totally unrelated things. And that's the end of Dramash. They have nothing to do with each other. Takanas Usha was to make an iser. That's totally on the fact that there's a problem. The shear is a shear, and the Shem gave the shear. Stop again. The Shem gave his shear. We don't know why Hashem does what he does. We don't darish time in the Kra. We have a simon that Hashem made a shear, because otherwise it'd be a lack of drachef adarkinam. But we don't say that's why he gave the shear. That would be darish time in the Kra. The shear is a shear, and therefore the shear applies even when the drachef adarkinam doesn't apply. Right? That's what I'm trying to say. It's a decent shot. They're both not bad. I think so.
To me, once our Gemara falls off of this shear of a third, then there really is no source from our Gemara to this lumdus anymore. That's
Gemara says clearly that the Gemara fell off the one way, but the Gemara falls off because the Gemara is saying the shear has to be more than a third. Because the Gemara is saying if the shear is only a third, then you'd be it's Rami, they tell us, and that can't be. So the Gemara is really saying The Gemara is saying that the share must be more than a third.
That step's not mukher. It's only once you say to the share of a third that we have a problem of Isrami.
Sure. If the third, if there's no share, then even if Isrami one mitzvah, you'll lose all your money. That's for sure can't be. So the Gemara is proving there must be a lower share.
I hear. But Lamaisa, the Raiva didn't cite Dirachei Darcheinu. The Raiva.
Okay. Okay.
Nor did the Raj
for
the Ron.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, but it. Okay, I hear. Anyway,
all right. So what happened to the Purim jokes you were supposed to get this week? Maybe so we can get Purim jokes.
I'll tell you a story, and then I'll tell you what the Purim joke is. You know, there's a Purim Mashkiach. I got an email from Chaim Schwartz that they're starting Purim Mashkiach in Queens. He says it's an old minhag from Sabata, but I'm sorry to disappoint Chaim Schwartz that he got the wrong information. It's not an old minhag in Sabata.
It was Chavetz Chaim Eretz Yisrael.
Right, it's an old minhag. Chavetz Chaim in Eretz Yisrael. We used to have a problem.
Let's say Sebrow was the first Purim Mashkiach.
What happened was, I'll tell you the inside story. There was a problem that every year the guys in Israel were raiding Sharfmans during other. And then Sharfmans would raid us back. And it was a terrible problem. And no matter how hard we got, we couldn't stop it. So we figured we have to get them busy in something else to keep them out of trouble. Because they need something, some shtick. So there's a sefer, and I forgot the name of the sefer, but he brings a maisa that in Volozhin, they had a Purim Rosh Hashiva. And in Purim Rosh Hashiva, he used to say, they would elect a Purim Rosh Hashiva, and on Purim, he would say a humorous Dvar Torah. And he brings it one year, everyone went to his Dvar Torah of the Purim Rosh Hashiva, and he said a serious Dvar Torah. So they were very angry at him, and they took him to the Netziv, a Din Torah, that here he ruined the Purim. He's supposed to say a Purim, you know, full of puns, and he said a serious Dvar Torah. Guy wants to show off his Dvar Torah, but it's not the time. So the Sif says, tell me over the Dvar Torah. He told him over that there's a steer between the Yishalmi and the Rambam. And he was the steer with a real Lumdishikash answer. So the Sif said he was Yaitse, because there's no such Yishalmi and no such Rambam. Okay. So we took that same. So we made up a Purim Mashkiach. There was no such thing as Purim. So keep the guys busy. Okay. Anyway, so meanwhile, I'm just saying the word is so you're Yaitse Purim, when you say piece of Purim Torah. So we were Yaitse. Maybe we were Yaitse Purim Mashkiach jokes. We set up piece of Torah. If it's not right, so we were Yaitse, the Purim spirit. Imanashach. Either we set a good piece of Torah or we got for Purim. Right? Depends what you like. All right. Yes, I remember Yosef C. Brown. Yes, he had a fish.
He was the first one, I think.
Okay.
Gets a mazel tov.
He gets a mazel tov, yes. Yeah, what, a girl?
I think it's a boy.
A boy? Okay, it's even the mazel tov, whatever it is.
I know he was out for a while because he had corona.
Okay, anyway, very nice. Mazel tov to everybody.